All right, so a few minutes after 6:30, we had a closed session meeting, so we're a few minutes late, but we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'll call this meeting of the Village Board to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
In terms of the agenda, I would propose a couple of modifications. Is Mr. Schumacher here concerning the committee appointment?
I am, yes.
Okay. And we'll move that one up, too. Let's do this. I would like to propose that we make old agenda item 10, the resolutions 5A. Number 12, appointment of Mr. Schumacher to the Economic Development Committee, make that 5B. Item number 13, appointment of Angie Kowalczyk to a board that I'll tell you about when we get there, to 5C. And then I'd like to move the 8 up to 5D. That's the management letter and annual financial report. Any other proposed modifications to the agenda? But I'll make a motion that we make those modifications. Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Modified agenda approved. We'll have the presentation on the project information meeting Highway 172 intersection project.
We have with us the gentleman from DOT on this project that's upcoming here on Highway 172, and they'll go over what the project is. It's nice to see you.
Hi. First of all, thanks for having us tonight to present some information on an upcoming project we have. My name is Andy Falser with the DOT. I'm the Brown County Project Manager. I also have Project Supervisor for DOT, Dan Segerstrom. So tonight we wanted to present some information on an upcoming project we have at 172 and Webster Avenue interchange. And we're not planning to hold a formal public meeting for the project, so we wanted to come to the Village Board, inform you of what's going on. We'll be sending out some project notification letters to impacted stakeholders and residents that will be directly impacted by the project. Outside of that, we just follow our normal pre-construction notification process. Project location, again, it's at the 172 and Webster Avenue interchange. More specifically, it's at the southbound Webster to westbound 172 on-ramp.
Hold on a second. Let me get my head straight. Say that one more time.
Turn around.
Right here's here's Webster Avenue, mm-hmm. And then to get onto 172 and go towards the river.
Gotcha.
It's right here at this on-ramp.
The southbound to the westbound.
Yes.
All right.
So the project came about to address a safety issue that's present at the interchange. The free flow right turn lane has an identified crash issue, and so the large sweeping radius that you see out there now with the large grass island in between, the right turns in that area, we're seeing a lot of rear end collisions. So what we did is we applied for some highway safety improvement funding. And that was approved about a year ago, so we began designing this project. So the proposed improvement that we're looking at doing here is reconstructing the right turn island on the southbound approach. And the new island configuration will remove the large sweeping curve and create an acceptable approach angle. And the new geometry is expected to significantly reduce the right turn crashes that we're seeing out there today. And this is something that we've done on numerous other interchanges in the region, some that come to mind, 15 and 41 down in the Grand Chute area, There's another intersection in that area, Casaloma and 15. So this is a relatively common improvement that we do for this type of crash issue that we're seeing. The proposed schedule for the project, right now it's scheduled for construction in fall of 2016, and we're proposing allowing a maximum of 7 consecutive calendar days to complete the work, so it will be relatively a short time frame. However, during construction, we do plan to close the westbound on-ramp connector. So as you look at the map here, there'd be no access to the connector ramp westbound to get onto westbound 172. We close the right turn lane and then this outside right through lane just to allow the area for construction staging, and then also the leftbound or left turn lane on the northbound Webster.
So that whole intersection would be closed?
Not the whole intersection. You'll still be able to get southbound on Webster. Yeah. There'll be one lane, and then there'll still be 2 northbound lanes. And then you'd still have the access off the off ramp. It just wouldn't be this movement and this movement.
And so end up having to detour traffic down to Riverside to get back, to work backwards to get onto 41 if you want to go westbound.
Yes. With the project, we're not going to provide an official detour. However, we do anticipate that the traffic wanting to use the connector would find alternate routes via the local systems, likely County O or Alloway Avenue, to get down to Riverside Drive and then eventually to 172.
And you said that period of time would only be 1 week?
Yes.
7 days?
Yep.
Thank you.
And again, we're looking at sending out project notification letters to the any impacted stakeholders, which would be like the transit, bus companies, fire and rescue, and then any residents that are directly impacted. There is one resident or one parcel specifically that we do have to purchase some temporary easement from right up on the corner here, and that's mainly just a grade behind the sidewalk. So again, that's a temporary impact, and we are not impacting any of the trees at that property. So as we get closer to construction, again, we can update the village and the county on the proposed work, and once we have a better idea of when exactly that's going to happen. And we'll also be doing our typical news releases and have portable changeable message signs out on each side of the job 7 days prior to notify the traveling public of the upcoming closure. So one other thing I wanted to mention with this area, you'll see some work going out at these intersections this summer. We are replacing the existing signals with a monotube signal layout, and that's something that was originally going to be done with this project. We had our traffic section had some funding become available, and so they're doing various intersections, upgrading the signals to monotubes, and this was one of the ones that will be getting upgraded.
What's the difference?
It's those big. Looks like an aluminum pole, large tube pole, and then it goes out across the whole intersection. So the lights, there's lights above each lane.
So they go sideways instead of up and down?
There's one large pole at the side, and then it has an arm that goes all the way across, half the roadway. So then you have a light. So when you're approaching, you'd have a specific light over your lane. The examples, Oneida Street. I don't know, Oneida Street is not a good example.
East Mason to get onto 43.
Oneida Street does have the monotubes.
Does it?
Over the lanes. They aren't necessarily lined up the best, but they are. It's a it's a national standard that we're trying to come into compliance with.
That's all I had on this project. Is there any other questions?
Any other questions on the board, Bob?
The modifications that you have for the entrance onto the ramp, is this going to help to rectify the problem with crossover traffic that has left from 172 getting on to and crossing Webster to go down to Riverside Drive, where in essence the traffic lanes cross each other. I mean, you see that as a problem constantly.
Yep. And it should help that, where you're having your right turn, so you're only going to have one lane instead of where now you have the two lanes here. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about this weave, yeah, here. So we're only going to have one lane for this short distance. So that'll eliminate any weaving there. So then traffic, if they want to go to 57, they can cut off to the right here. If they want to continue to go to 172, they'll stay in the left lane. So, yes,
is that going to work with morning traffic flow? I mean, because it does tend to get back up there.
In the right turn lane?
The whole thing.
Yes.
Yep. That's not specifically addressing that issue. We are still meeting an acceptable level of service, or we're maintaining the same level of service. This is more focused on addressing the crash issue. So,
any other questions of the board? Oh, well, thank you very much. And
I have a couple updates on the Riverside Drive project.
Well,
I wanted
like
to
hear those.
Just to give you guys a schedule update for our upcoming meetings. We have picked a date. Not officially scheduled yet, but it sounds like everything's working out. This sounds like Elwood Leopold School is available for our public meeting, which would be scheduled for June 17th. And how we're going to handle our public outreach is we are going to hold a local officials meeting, inviting all the officials from the Village of Alloway, the City of DePere, Brown County, and then state elected officials to a meeting on June 10th at our office. That follows our typical public outreach procedure, and then somewhat similar to what we did at the last public meeting in October, we would come present to the village board. However, we're going to wait till after the public meeting to do that. We feel that would be more beneficial. We'll get the comments from the public meeting, and then we can present the preferred alternative to the village board after the fact and discuss any of the comments that we receive through a public outreach. So,
excellent. Just to try to confirm the June 17th or whatever it is as soon as you can, so we can do our best to get the word out to get people
sure.
Available to the poll.
Yep, and we will be sending out invites at approximately 2 weeks prior. We like getting them out at least 2 weeks before, and we have an invite list of between 600 and 700 mailing addresses. So we'll be definitely getting the word out on our end as well. So
excellent.
And the what happens after that? So after the public meeting, and then you come to the board and present the preferred alternative, what happens then?
Well, we'd evaluate what comments we get from the municipalities, from the public, and you know, if there's nothing that would be deal-breaking or cause any major changes to the design, we would then consider that the completion of our public outreach for the environmental process.
Okay.
And we'd have that preferred alternative, we'd move forward with our final design. That doesn't mean what you're going to see on the displays, everything is going to be final, but certainly the lane configuration and that type of layout, the turn lanes, and that will be considered preferred. So. And then I just had one more item on Riverside Drive. Craig had it on the agenda a little later. Craig and I had discussed the funding for the CSS, the Community Sensitive Solutions, more of the landscaping and decorative type items for Riverside Drive. In the original scoping state municipal agreement with the village that was signed back in 2011, there was 3% in there for that. And I clarified it on my end. We do not have to go to the 1.5%. We can hold to that 3%. So,
can you go to
four? We have a meeting for that tomorrow night.
Can
so we'll
you
discuss.
Go to four?
I do have one physical logistical thing, and that is that when the meeting is held at Aldo Leopold, there needs to be a better audio system
okay.
in place, because the last time was horrible. People couldn't hear what was going on. They walked out and they were shaking their heads. And, you know, I was one of them, but then Okay. I can tell you that I don't hear it at all. So, but it was really difficult to hear things in there. When the presentations were made, oftentimes, because of the size, the cavernous of the room itself, the voices were lost. So there'd be something that could be done to make it a louder, more clear. Thank you. I heard that. Audio, that would be appreciated.
Okay. We will do our best to improve that. So.
Any other board questions or comments? All right. Well, thank you for the update and the presentation.
Okay.
Thanks. Andy.
And Brad, as soon as they pick that date for the meeting, can we get that on the website?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Okay, then we'll move into announcements. 4A, update on petition from Quick Trip. After the last meeting, I had a meeting with representatives of the diocese to discuss the status of their application, you know, for the Quick Trip. And they wanted to hold off just for a brief period of time, one, so that the board could at least review the draft corridor study for Webster Avenue, which we had a meeting on last night along with the Plan Commission. And the Plan Commission's minutes weren't even final yet. So that issue concerning Quick Trip and the Plan Commission recommendation will come back before the board on June 16th at that meeting. So that's when that will be taken up. That's when I think all the board members, at least when I polled everybody, seemed that we'd have all seven, which I think is important. And then a Quick Trip and its representatives will be here. But June 16th will be the date that that issue comes back before the board on the Plan Commission recommendation. And I suspect that they approved their minutes last night at their meeting from the Quick Trip
yes.
meeting. So I've also asked that Brad, you know, or Debbie, you know, forward the approved minutes from the Plan Commission meeting to all the board members via email and make sure that they're posted on the website as well so the residents can look at that. Then we'll all have a couple of weeks before, well, a little bit more than a couple before that issue will come up so people can all give it some thought. So that's where we're at. June 16th will be the date that that'll come back before the board. Update on petition from Hillcrest Lumber.
On June 2nd, Hillcrest Lumber will be presenting an amendment to their original PDD for the condo units across the hall. It's been noted the public.
He needs the mic.
I can start over. On June 2nd, Hillcrest Lumber will be coming to the village board for approval to an amendment to their condo project located across the street here on Libel and St. Joseph. The change in their design is going from a two-story condo unit to a single-story condo unit, and we'll have some layout changes, so that needs to come to the board as an amendment.
All right, any questions of Brad concerning that issue? All right, any other announcements from the board? We'll get to you. Just a minute. From the board.
Today, the Alloway Business Association awarded its Excellence in Business Awards to Alloway businesses. And the large business of the year was the CP Center. The runner-up was Heritage Hill. The Small Business of the Year award was awarded to Riverside Animal Hospital. And the runner-up was Doug's Take 5 down on Riverside.
And it was an excellent event. Both Trustee Rafter and I and Brad and Trevor attended the luncheon today, and it was really well done. And our thanks you know, to the Alloway Business Association for what they do in recognizing local businesses that enhance our community. So wonderful work that they do. Any other announcements from the board? Hearing none. Chris.
I just have two quick announcements. A reminder to the board that tomorrow, 10 a.m., we're having a rededication ceremony at Greenale Park for the rededicating the Resch family East River Trail. If you can make it, please attend. And then also, Marlene Sharman from the Alloy Beautification Committee wanted me to let the board know, and she has a short little paragraph here she wanted me to read, but this is the 20th year of the Alloy Beautification Committee, and she wanted me to let you know that as the Alloy Beautification Committee celebrates its 20th year, they want to thank all the residents and businesses for their support. It's through their donations of money and time that have helped to keep Alloy the beautiful and welcoming village it is for all who live, work, and visit here. Let's continue this for another 20 years and beyond. And if you didn't happen to catch it, she was also on Channel 2 News yesterday at noon. And had a little short piece on there about the beautification.
Excellent. Any other staff announcements? Craig?
I put a flyer on your counter there and also sent out an email today. Unfortunately, we only received notice this morning from the contractor, Nian Tanks, that their open house will be tomorrow. But if you do have a chance to drive out and look at the Central Brown County Water Authority storage tanks that are under construction, they are some of the largest in the United States. It's an open house from 9:30 till 3. They'll be giving tours. You'll be able to see the tanks up close. It is something to see. It's an engineering marvel if you've never seen something of this size. They're pre-stressed concrete tanks that are erected on site. And they're freestanding tanks sitting on a foundation, so they aren't anchored to the foundation. They actually can move with the weather temperature. But it's quite amazing, and it is tomorrow. I apologize for the short notice. It's been a little difficult trying to coordinate when this would be, but it is put on by the contractor, not by us, and they picked the date. And it's primarily a promotion thing for them with their clients, but they've invited all of the authority customers and so forth, and the general public, and UDB stations and so forth. So, but it would be nice to see. It's on Scraves Hill Road. So if you go out G to Scraves Hill Road, follow that up the hill, you'll come right to the tanks. You can't miss them. And off in the distance, you will see the cranes up in the air, so you know where it is.
For you professional engineers, that must be almost like watching the Super Bowl, huh?
Be there all day.
you're going to tailgate, aren't you?
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing up there. You go up there. I mean, you've never seen something so big, so close, and you think, it's going to fall over. But they've got the guys who are up in these crews from New York who are literally making things within thousands of an inch. You know, because you can't screw it up. You screw it up once, it's all over. You know? So they're putting this thing together, and it's just phenomenal. So it's kind of fun to go out there.
All right. I encourage everybody to go take a look at it. Lots of money goes into those things, and it's taxpayer money eventually or ultimately. Before I forget, Brad, let's see you and I and staff maybe chat about what we can do to recognize formally the 20th anniversary of the beautification committee. I don't want that to go unheralded, so let's do something nice for them since they do such a nice job for our community. All right, any other announcements from staff? Anything else from the board? Hearing none, we'll move to item number 5, public appearances. Anyone's free to speak on anything that they want to, but the board can only take action on what's on the agenda. So, ma'am, if you could come up and state your name and address and talk to us.
Mary Sweeney from Webster Heights, 24 Webster Heights. Last meeting, John Shear got up and talked about green spaces, and I didn't think of this until I got back home. Is the board aware that there's a nature conservancy on the Bishop's property between Riverside Drive and Webster? And I'm wondering if that might need an environmental impact statement. I have a map. Let me show you. This is Webster Heights right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is all a ravine. This is all water in here. I'm not sure how far up into this part the Nature Conservancy goes, but this is where they were going to build the gas station,
mm-hmm.
or want to build the gas station. So I'm wondering if, since this is all going downhill, if there might be a problem.
Well, that's something we'll take up.
Because I don't think nobody mentioned it, and I thought that was important.
No, that's good to get all the information that we can, and we'll definitely look into
okay.
seeing whether that's an issue or if it's not an issue.
Okay, because I don't know.
Can I keep your map?
Oh yes, I have more than one. I don't think I have enough for all of the board. Here you go.
That's it. These all the same?
Yeah. Here's one that isn't marked up, but I know for a fact because I live right here. And there's a bridge across the ravine here, but this is all, there's a stream in there, there's water. If you come in from St. Joseph Street, this whole area in here has cattails, so it's got to be a water thing. This road is no longer open all the way through.
Okay.
But
anyway. Well, we'll take a look at that issue.
Okay.
Because if it is an issue, then it needs to be an issue.
I think that's kind of important.
Yeah, but we'll check into that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll give you the copies of the maps after, Brad. Yeah. All right, thank you, ma'am. All right, sir.
Thanks. My name's Mark Schumacher. I live on 321 Simonet Street. I'm a lifelong Alloway resident. I know some of you, but not all of you, so... I'm a third generation of five generations of our family that live in Alloway. I work at Smet Construction Services in business development, and I'm a member of the Alloway Business Association. So I've been kind of communicating a little bit with Jim Rafter, toying with the idea of a possible, just bouncing this off him, pedestrian overpass or underpass on Riverside Drive, Highway 57. So that's what my statement relates to. I had asked him in the last email I sent, is it too late to even consider something like that? And he said, there's really no hard answer, but you know, maybe, maybe not. But anyway, regardless, I'd like to share my statement with you. So I'm here to propose the concept of a pedestrian bypass over Highway 57 Riverside Drive to provide safe access to the Fox River Trail and to promote greater safety and connectivity for bikes and pedestrians in Alloway. I have not been a regular at many Alloway meetings, so if this is something that's already been taken up, I guess I'd like to add my support to this concept and would also welcome your comments and thoughts afterwards. So. With the new Highway 57 corridor project in the planning stages, I felt like now is the proper time to promote a safe access for bikes and pedestrians over an increasingly busy corridor. I travel that corridor from Iroquois into Green Bay four times a day, so I'm familiar with it. And I'm not an engineer or a surveyor or an architect. I am just a resident who believes that providing safe access to one of our great amenities will be a good investment for Alloway. Alloway residents are fortunate. We have two outstanding trails with the East River Trail and the Fox River Trail. The East River Trail offers a lot of safe and soft access through Green Isle, through the baseball fields. It's easy to get to and it's safe to get to, and I love utilizing it. I love the Fox River Trail. It's not as easy to access, and I think we all understand that the traffic is going to increase over time. The corridor is going to improve. I worry about potential injuries and fatalities just waiting to happen over time, and it just seems like too often a railroad crossing gate is put up only after there's a fatality. So I prefer not to wait for a tragedy. I know the prospect of an overpass or underpass is an expensive proposition, but I do know that other forward-thinking communities have succeeded in building them and have enjoyed the benefits of safe access to trails and greenways and also businesses. Our own leaders saw the value of building a similar structure over the East River in Green Isle Park, along with the underpass under Alloway Avenue. And the Green Isle Park Bridge has become really kind of iconic as a fixture and symbol in Alloway. So I believe Alloway residents and leaders should dream big and make a pedestrian bypass an integral part of the Riverside Drive project. I'm here to suggest we initiate a private campaign to raise capital and to solicit services to design, engineer, and construct an overpass or underpass that can be integrated into the project. I believe we have the technical and financial resources in Alloway and in the greater community to make this a reality. I know just for an example, we have AGL Architects off Webster up here. We have Somerville. I work at SMET. We'd be willing to offer some services. But what I'm proposing is that we start some type of committee to begin the process of finding out just what it might take. What can I do? I don't know exactly. It's new territory for me. But I'd be willing to call on businesses locally to seek professional and financial support. Companies like Somerville, KI, Schreiber, Schneider National, Green Bay Packers, Associated Bank, Nicolet Bank. I envision potentially having naming rights for a bridge or even like a paver campaign, something like that, to help to raise the financial support that it would take. So I'm willing to call on people. I'm willing to approach the Diocese of Green Bay and other companies for possible easement. And I think that a well-marketed and well-conceived project can take on its own momentum in time. Just as a side note, I've been kind of searching around online, and I know Davenport, Iowa, has actually started a Kickstarter campaign to do a bridge. It's much more significant. But there's other ways to do this than to lean on the state. And so I don't know if it's too late to consider something like that, but I'm here to to offer my support, and I think we have the resources right here to make it a reality. So I'm asking you for any kind of support that you can offer, whether it might be promoting a meeting for the purpose of forming a committee to promote that concept. So I ask for your consideration, and I place myself at your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Schumacher.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Where were you proposing to have this built? Because you're talking about getting an easement from the diocese.
I'm just throwing it out there as an example. I don't have a location in mind. I'm not a civil engineer.
Oh.
I'm proposing it right now generally as a concept. So, and that's important. I know.
I'll speak into the microphone. Location is very important, because if it's not in a strategic place and no one uses it, it defeats the purpose. So there's a lot of unknowns, and I think that's part of any big challenge like that. So I don't propose to have all of those answers at this time.
But all good ideas start with an idea.
Sure.
And then you add the meat to the bones later on. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Trustee Raffer, would you want to say something?
Thank you. The reason I asked Mark to come tonight is he bounced the idea off me, and one thing that I loved to hear was not only let's put an overpass or an underpass, but he's offering to help in any way, shape, or form that he can. And I thank you very much for that. And at our last stakeholder meeting, I was actually having a conversation with one of the guys from the DOT and about the feasibility. Could we put an underpass or an overpass along somewhere along Riverside? And they said, it's cash money. It's a lot of money, you know, to the tunes of $1 million or more. And then Mark contacted me, and he goes, he's convinced that we could get corporate sponsorship, and that's a very creative way to go about doing something and looking into it. So, like President Gass says, everything starts with an idea. So thank you very much for reaching out, Mark.
I think it's a very intriguing concept. Craig, let me ask you, has that ever been part of any formal discussion or conceptually with the DOT, or has that just been something that really hasn't, you know, come to the surface?
Not an overpass. There's been discussion about the underpass at Heritage Hill, upgrading that, And there's been discussion about connections to the Fox River Trail at various points and how the village could interface with the DOT and the county for a cross connection to the trails. So that's the type of, and there was some discussion about overpass, but it was the cost issue that, that really kind of set that aside, and then not a specific site was readily identifiable that that could go that would be very, very effective. But yeah, there are some options for connections that really would come into play as we go forward. And that's always a possibility. I think the corridor study mentioned having a cross connection down to the Marine Street area over the highway. And they identified that area. So there is one potential site there. The question is traffic. How much use?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do this. Let's put it on the next Public Works Committee agenda for discussion and round tabling, and we can maybe explore the feasibility of the concept, and then if we determine that it could be feasible but needs a lot of funding, then we can maybe reach out and form a different committee to look into that, or maybe even approach Alley Walks and Bikes to see if it might be something they might be interested in spearheading some kind of an effort to make that happen. Brad?
If you recall, Trevor brought to the table that the Planning Commission talked about last night the formation of an ad hoc committee to study the bike and head plan for the village. That's yet another sounding board, because they're going to be looking at the interconnection of the Fox to the east and all those sorts of items. So that might be another opportunity for them to look at it.
Yeah,
the committee has not yet been formed, so it just went to the Planning Commission last night for a recommendation.
Yeah, I think what I envision is Public Works taking a look at it and maybe addressing feasibility and potential cost, and then we can find an appropriate committee to maybe look at how it can maybe be implemented or make it happen. Because I think it is an intriguing concept. Do we have a date for the next Public Works meeting?
Well, it's the Thursday between the two board meetings, so that would be about the 12th or so, whatever that Thursday is. June.
Okay. Anybody have a calendar?
I think it's the 11th.
All right, Mr. Schumacher, Public Works Committee will meet on June 11th, if that's a Thursday.
Yeah, I checked the calendar.
At 7 o'clock in the morning here.
It is okay. A Thursday, June 11th.
All right, 7 o'clock in the morning here, that's when Public Works will talk about it, if you wanted to be in attendance.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other public comment? Sir?
Isn't that what they're constructing down the side of Heritage Hill right now, underneath 172? When we were looking at that map that DOT just had here, they've got a blue mark of the path that's going from Webster Avenue down the side of Heritage Hill along.
That's been there to get over to the back section where they had those Birch Park buildings. There was a connect under the road.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is there's a bunch of equipment underneath 172 right now at Riverside Drive. Aren't they building a pathway from Webster Avenue down to the bike path now? Isn't that what they're doing?
Craig, do you know what they're doing down there?
Chris does.
Yes, that is a trail linkage that's going in from Webster down to Fox River Trail. But it is going at grade across Riverside Drive with pedestrian crossings at stoplights. It's not a tunnel that goes in.
It's not a tunnel, but there's access coming is what I'm getting at.
That is correct.
Safe by the way. Yeah, I mean, just so you all know, I mean, in terms of the reconstruction of Riverside Drive, getting people safely across has been a central part of all the design concepts to date. I mean, be it crosswalks but there will be several different places that we're trying to make much safer for people to get across. That's all that always has been part of the conceptual plan. The overpass hasn't really been a subject of any great discussion so far, and we're going to try to see if we can get that on the table in some way, shape, because I think it's an intriguing concept. You have a nice, beautiful walkway over Riverside Drive. I think it could be something that would be add value and add beauty. I mean, it could be aesthetically done and clearly give people safe access, you know, across Riverside. But just so everybody knows, there are going to be several points along Riverside where we're going to do the best we can to make safe, you know, safe crossing areas, but they will be grade level. You know, they will be across the road. So those are all part of the conceptual plan so far. Any other public comment? Sir, could we get your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Russ Holtman, 1413 South Irwin Avenue.
All right, thank you, sir, because we have a record that we got to keep here.
I apologize.
Anybody else, public comment? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I am on the Elway Walking Bikes Committee, but I'm not here representing them. I've been promoting on the Riverside Drive project, I've been promoting a west side sidewalk pedestrian accommodation for quite a while, and I've given the DOT and Brad ideas on why we should have a sidewalk on the west side, a continuous sidewalk on the west side instead of on the east side. And on the west side, we'd be able to utilize the Fox River Trail. Over the past year or so, since this has come up, we've been doing a lot of fighting without all the information. We've had the residents fighting, the DOT, and the DOT has dug in their heels and said, this is the law and we have to follow the law. And I attend all the meetings, as you know. And what's been floating out there is that everybody knows that there's 15 levels of bike and ped accommodations. Everybody's heard that, right? That there's 15 levels of bike ped accommodations, ranging everything from the golden standard of huge roads with big bike lanes and lots of sidewalk to almost nothing. And then last night I said, well, we've been fighting over this 15 levels for a year and a half. I'd like to see what those exact 15 levels are. We've narrowed the road down to the smallest that's legally possible. We're going to have a wide outside lane without designated bike lanes, and now we're just fighting over sidewalks. And I said, okay, well, what sidewalks are available under those 15 levels? And AIRS produced a nice handout on bike ped accommodations. They're a local engineering firm. And on those 15 levels that we've been fighting over, and fighting over about the sidewalks and people at the Murphy Coles estate and people losing their yards and that type of thing, those 15 levels aren't addressed in, the sidewalks aren't addressed in those 15 levels. So we've been sent on chasing these red herrings. So we're fighting over something that we really shouldn't be fighting over. Realistically, what we're supposed to be fighting over is what's called Trans 75. And specifically, we're supposed to be fighting over, and that's transportation law, it's Trans 75, section 75.02, section 4. And this is what we're allowed to fight about. If we don't want the sidewalk as the state is promoting, we are required to, if an authority, which is what the village would be, determines to omit a bikeway or sidewalk under this chapter, the department may refuse from the authority, may request from the authority a written justification for the omission and shall deny state funds or federal funds appropriated for the project if the department determines the omission is not justified under this chapter. That, in a nutshell, is one sentence that can eliminate all of the problems that we've had with the residents and with the state, because I'm on the Elway Walks and Bikes Committee, and I want a better walkway than the state is going to give us. We want a better bikeway, not to omit a bikeway. We want a better pedestrian accommodation. We want to be able to cross the road from the Taft Street neighborhood safely. We want to cross the road from the Arrowhead neighborhood safely. We want to cross the road from Old Alloway and the Murphy Coles estate and over at Derby Lane. So we want to be able to cross the road. We want to go east-west. The state wants us to go north-south. They want to give us 3 miles of double sidewalks north-south, and we only want a couple crossings because we already got a great pedestrian accommodation. We just want to get across the road. So instead of saying that we want to omit a sidewalk, we need to tell the state we want to upgrade the pedestrian plan. And by upgrading the pedestrian plan, then we're not fighting with them. We're all working on getting a better plan. Now, it just so happens that it's going to cost about half of what the state wants to spend, so we're going to save a bunch of money. But instead of saying that we want to omit something, let's just say that we want to upgrade it. Give us east-west crossings instead of along north-south. Give us the sidewalks along the state-owned property, along the at Heritage Hill, there's the new retention ponds and across from the reformatory. We have public lands that people want to have access to that will meet the goals of the pedestrian the pedestrian mandate. So we have people who want to walk. We just want to get to a place that's safe to walk. We don't want to walk along the cemetery bulkhead that's there. That's very dangerous. We want to be able to get people out walking safely. And they're already walking on the Fox River Trail, and by giving us better access to the trail, we're going to upgrade the plan, not omit from the plan. And what kind of brought it into focus was I was talking with Andy, and I talked to Andy and the DOT quite a bit, and they said it's not our job to get you to the trail, okay, because they didn't want to give us some sidewalk down by the diocese property, down by St. Francis Park. And all of a sudden I said, well, because that finally came to a head, and he said, that's not our job to get you to the trail. I said, well, we're fighting over something we don't want to fight over. Really, we just want people out walking and enjoying their walk. We don't need an extra mile or two of sidewalk that nobody's going to want. We want good crossings, and we want a good pedestrian pedestrian accommodation along Highway 57. And the West Side Road that I gave to Brad allows us to do that. It connects Stambaugh Road to the new path that we're building today. We're building it today. So, and then we cut behind all the houses, and then that's a legitimate sidewalk. And then the 15 levels that everybody's been talking about and fighting over for the last couple of years, that's all bike accommodations. That's already been settled. We're no longer fighting over the 15 levels. That's already settled. So we're now just fighting over whether we want to omit sidewalk or want to make it better. And if it's our position that we want to make it better by having less sidewalk and using the trail, that's the route to go. And so our elected officials are looking for a way to comply with the law and allow us to use the trail and have it plowed and that type of thing. And it's at, again, Trans 7502, Section 4, that last paragraph. And all we need to do is come up with a better request that says we're upgrading the plan, we're not omitting the sidewalk. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaVore. Anybody else from the public wish to appear and address the board?
Sorry.
Well, don't be sorry.
My suggestion is you limit to everybody in 3 minutes. Ibamba, Jimmy Hansen.
Well, since they all talked over 3 minutes, I'll give you one.
It's not because I might not be able to be here for the 6th of May and the 16th.
Could you
I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you name an address, please?
Jimmy Hansen, 75 Webster Heights Drive.
Thank you.
Again, I was new in the community, so I want to thank you for sending me to the right place to find the Plan Commission memo. And if anybody's here from the Plan Commission, thank you for your work. Nothing's worse than committee work and nobody listened to you. I just want to say that I appreciate everything that they said, including that Webster Avenue is not a fooder or gas station desert. I appreciate the concerns for the sanitary sewer issues, which are a very big deal if anybody's had sewer problems, and I have. I concur with the problem with the grade, and I blame a lot of that on the drawings that they submit. This reminds me of another problem in another community I lived in. Someone submitted a plan like this without showing the elevations, and it was approved, and then all of a sudden the community said, we didn't approve that. That doesn't look like anything we had expected. But because you don't have the elevations on, you don't really know what the project's going to look like. It says that also the Plan Commission said that it does not meet the spirit of the comprehensive plan. I couldn't find it on your website, and I could also not find a village mission statement, which I think would have been helpful to see if this all fits in there. I guess that's my concerns, but I didn't make it under a minute.
I'll give you more time.
Okay, one more thing then. Department of Corrections.
You can take all the time you want.
A gentleman came last week and asked, and I don't know if anyone did, and I don't want an answer, but if you have not, I would appreciate it if the village would contact the Department of Corrections to see, because it is a safety issue, if this thing with the towers is going to go through. And I think that should come from you. You should find out to let us know. That's all I have. All
right, thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in the public wish to comment during the public appearance section of the agenda? All right. Hearing none, will we resume the rest of the agenda? Under the modified agenda, the next item of business is 5A, which is the old number 10, action regarding resolutions 2015-11 through 2015-16, thanking committee, board, and commission members for their service. The first resolution up for consideration is 2015-11, Village of Alloway, thanking Marlene Crowley for serving on the Board of Appeals since April 22 of 2003. That's a long time. Do I have a motion concerning the adoption of Resolution 2015-11? Trustee Green. Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. 2015-11 is adopted. Next resolution, 2015-12, thanking Dennis Novicki for serving on the Board of Ethics since May 2 of 2006 and recognizing him for his excellent service to the community. Is there a motion concerning adoption of resolution 2015-12? Trustee Harris, is there a second? Trustee Rafter. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Aye. Resolution adopted. 2015-13. Thanking Marco Lenicek for serving on the Economic Development Committee since October 21 of 2008 and to honor him for his service to the community. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this resolution? Trustee Atwood, is there a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution adopted. Next one is Resolution 2015-14 to thank and recognize Russell Winkler for serving on the Economic Development Committee since April 17 of 2012 and to honor his service. Is there a motion concerning this resolution? Trustee Rafter, is there a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Resolution adopted. Is there Resolution 2015-15? To thank Ellen Schumacher for her service on the Park Recreation and Forestry Committee since May 3 of 2005 and to honor her service to the community. Is there a motion concerning this resolution? Trustee Rafter, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously adopted. Resolution 2015-6. I said something like an auctioneer for a little while. 2015-16, recognizing Steve Bostet for serving on the Park Rec and Forestry Committee since April 15 of 2008 and recognizing his excellent service to the community. Is there a motion concerning this resolution? Trustee Green, is there a second? Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Resolution adopted. Some of these people have served for a long time, and this village would be half of what it is if it wasn't for the dedicated service of so many good people of the community, to so many good committees and the good committee work that they do. So these resolutions are truly heartfelt for all of their effort. Next agenda item is the old 12. Which is now the new 5B, action regarding appointment of Mark Schumacher to the Economic Development Committee. I will make that a motion to so appoint him. Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Mr. Schumacher is duly appointed.
Mr. President, yes. One thing we should note for Mr. Schumacher in regards to his information about the community, I'm encouraging you to give him a chance to do that. Tomorrow night is the Community Sensitive Solutions meeting here. For a chance for him to get orientation in regards to the project and specifically to the community and what they want to do or what they would like to get a vision on. So that would be a good place for you to just stop in and get an orientation.
I'd like to. I got a CHIRPS meeting tomorrow night at 5:30, probably till 7. What time is that meeting at?
6 to 8.
8.
6
till
8.
6 till 8.
Yes, that's all.
No, thank you. I'll try to stop by after.
See, Mr. Schumacher, after 25 or 30 years of diligent service to your newly appointed committee, you'll get a resolution one day. Well, welcome aboard and thank you for your service. Old item 13, modified 5C, appointment regarding Angie Kowalczyk to, I'm going to make a motion that we appoint her as a representative to the Plan Commission. And also a member of the Board of Review. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Dart. She has an excellent planning background and experience, and we had some discussion, but then Debbie and I realized that with Chris Collada's, you know, term ending and him being off, there is a vacancy, and she does have quite a planning background, so that will be an excellent fit for her. And we hope that she, once you volunteer and take the step forward, we'll tap you to the extent we can, so we're going to put her on Board of Review. So ask her if she's okay with both of those appointments. I think her higher preference was Plan Commission over Board of Review, but hopefully she'll be happy with both. If not, she can serve on the Plan Commission. All right. Did we vote? Did we even get a second?
Yes.
All right. That's right. Trustee Dart seconded it. All right, so there's been a motion and a second to make that appointment. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Appointment made. Now we're moving to old 8, new 5D, which is the action regarding the 2014 management letter and annual financial report. I understand this will be one of the last times you come see us.
Yes, it might be the last.
Yeah, why don't you come up to the podium?
Okay, thank you for inviting me here. I believe you have copies of the information. Maybe you just called me up here to give yourself a break. Okay. My name is Mike Konechny, and I've been working on the Village of Alloway for a number of years with your audit. And what I'd like to do is go through the management communication, the staple document. And our policy, we put, you know, your village audit report is 48 pages, so we take some of the important information and changes in it. Village's financial position and put it in this letter format with some other things too. So, but I'd be happy to take anything in your financial statements later too. But I'd like to kind of go through this comment by comment, give you some of the highlights and summarize the changes and where I think you are at a little bit of information there. So, first of all, pages 1 through 3 of this document are communication to the village board. Contains a number of things. Some of you who've been on the board before, it's a required letter, addresses various things, but basically there's nothing, what it says is there were no significant difficulties, there were no findings and internal control issues, there were no disagreements with management, there were no uncorrected, if we noticed something that we felt should be changed, it was agreed upon and changed in your records, and there was only a couple things that we did propose to reclassify. So anyway, it's a standard letter, but there's no significant issues in it. So then going to page 4 is the beginning of the summary financial information. And here we compare your first comment compares your what we call your governmental fund balances. And for those who are new, there's basically two types of fund balances you use, two primary types, governmental and proprietary. Your utilities are considered proprietary, your business type operations. And these are all your other funds, either from borrowed money or basically for tax levy support operations. And here's some good news here. Your general fund at the end of 14 was $3.4 million, approximately, compared to about $3.2 million a year earlier. So you had approximately a $200,000 increase in your general fund. Most of it, I think, was from unspent expenditures. And you can either get it, obviously, by collecting more revenues than you budget, or by spending less than you budget. And most of it was from the spending side. You have various numbers that make up your general fund, but one of the more important ones, the larger one there, unassigned fund balance, $2.6 million, compared to roughly $3.2 million a year earlier. So that did... it did go down. One of the biggest reasons was applying money in the budget. I know this was all discussed, to apply money, because your unassigned fund balance does exceed sort of your minimum amount that you've set by policy. And that's all explained kind of in here. We think your general fund's in, very good shape. I think it's still about $600,000 over your set amount policy.
Yeah, but I do appreciate your comment in here that if we use that unassigned fund balance for a single time capital project or something, there's nothing wrong with that. But we always have to be mindful if we want to start assigning that to recurring debt obligations, because when we run out of money out of the general fund to pay for that, then it's going to come out of the operating budget again.
Right. Use it for operating expenses as a kind of a debt ongoing debt service. It's a double whammy. First of all, the money's gone, and then where do you get it next year?
Mm-hmm.
I believe the state's in some trouble. You could make that case. So, not to get political here, of course. that's all explained there, and Clara obviously knows that from different discussions we've had and things too. So. Your other funds here, I don't think see any significant change. You have a public bus service that's run through the Green Bay bus system. Compensated absences has a positive fund balance. You put a consistent amount in there every year. Some years you might have more people retire than you anticipate. So that's the idea, to have a consistent amount budgeted each year, and it should even out over time. Capital Projects Fund, Capital Facilities, you had $596,000 remaining in there. And that's generally where some of your borrowed money goes, the fund projects, things like that. So. Okay, we added this comment on page 5 there, comment number 2 on your tax incremental district. And this is the first year we had some significant transactions in here. And we're showing the 2014 year, and then we're showing what we call a cumulative. You'll see this going forward, just kind of set this up. There's the 2014, you had $46,865 in intergovernmental revenues, state aid in there. And then your expenditures were $17,000. Developer incentives, you have various agreements with developers that you contribute towards and their projects. You started the year January 19,000 negative, and this is the prior administration project plan, developing the plan. And so the end of the year, we're at $10,000 balance. And the statement at the bottom of the schedule there, you had about $12.4 million of value increase in this district. So you're going to have a $277,000 increment in 15. And the way this works, and for some of you, maybe I can briefly say, there's that 12 million gets the same tax rate as everybody else, but the village keeps all the county school technical college rate on that $12 million to pay for the TIF project plan. So the schools do not share in that until the TIF closes. And that's the whole idea of it. So,
so are the value of our TIF district increased by $12 million last year?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, there was a couple of substantial projects.
Well, it's not chunk change there, Trustee Rapp.
Right. No, there could be, you know, inflation will do it too. There hasn't been a lot of that lately.
We haven't done a lot of development in the last year.
Yeah, there's two significant projects. One was the...
Yeah, I believe part of it was from the prior year reassessment, partial inflation, and then this, I want to say summer, I guess, is in the TIF district too, which didn't ask for or require any assistance, but we get its value.
Okay.
And the remodeling the car dealership.
The whole medical equipment also.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And keep in mind, this is a 1/1/14 value, is the way this works. Because it's always a year behind. You collect taxes. If the taxes you're collecting in 15 are based on a 1/1/14 value. So it's a good start. And some of the other operations that are not included on that first page, your sanitary sewer utility fund is an enterprise fund, business type fund, all those terms are kind of the same meaning. But there we show financial statements similar to a business. They're doing a service, collecting revenue from people that use that service. Revenues for the year, $2,448,000 compared to $2,408,000, a small increase. Operating expenses were up about $300,000, $2.2 million compared to about $1,009,000. So you had an operating income of about $270,000 less than the prior year. 188 compared to 458. There's various debt that is being paid through this fund for projects that we're rehabbing the sanitary sewer primarily and other lift stations and things. But so there's interest expense here, and then that increased from the recent borrowings. And you follow that all the way down, you did have a positive change in net position. And kind of just state the obvious reasons why the income was down, increased treatment from the Green Bay Met. I think you've all discussed that at budget time, how the Green Bay Met is increasing its rates every year, higher maintenance costs, higher depreciation too in here, because this is a business type fund. We're depreciating your pipes, lift stations, just the assets there. You know, that's not a cash expense in the year that we're writing it off, but it was when it obviously was built and constructed. So, and we know there's a, we talked about at the bottom there, you know, and the village needs to continue to monitor this fund, which you do officially every year, at least once a year, and you implemented a 2015 rate increase. I think that went into effect January or probably March, the January service, yeah. So. And then on page 7, a similar comparison of your water utility. And here again, similar to the sanitary sewer revenues, we're down a little bit. About 50,000, roughly 3.3 million compared to 3,354. Expenses were up about 180,000, 2,009,000 compared to 2.7. What we've seen in many of our municipal utilities for 14 water utilities, more water breaks, you know, the cold weather and the early part of 14 contributed a lot to that. Here again, you had an operating income of almost $400,000, but again, less than the prior year. And the way you can, or one way to evaluate whether your rates are sufficient is a rate of return. And the Public Service Commission actually calculates one for you, or the report does that. And you can see your actual rate of return is dropping, has decreased the past 3 years. So you're at 171 in 14 compared to, you know, 4, 5, 6 the 3 years before. So we recommend the village consider increasing water rates. So we are actually putting together a rate assistance. A lot of information to submit to the Public Service Commission, and they'll calculate your rates on the water side. Sanitary sewer, you can do yourself, which you do with the budget. Water needs to go to the Public Service Commission. But we certainly agree that you do need a rate increase. You're not adding a lot of customers. You know, I see across the street you're going to add some, but not significant amount of customers, and you don't have a lot of industry that are using water. They're huge. So you only have a limited amount of customers, and as your expenses increase, it's just one of those things. And you have aging mains, you know, that have been in the 60, 70 years. So you get those are needing to be replaced.
Well, and by the graphic, I mean, you can tell we've done the best we can for as long as we can,
yep,
to not go through the rate increase process. But it's getting to the point where the 1.71% rate, yep, of return, when the 6.25%, I mean, we got to start making the upward adjustment again.
Right.
It's only, yep, hold off so long.
Yeah, and I guess we kind of say you're doing a good job of managing it by never falling negative. Because we certainly have clients where they don't watch this, something major happens, boom, they're losing money. And you've been able to at least stay on top of it and manage these this way.
Is there a general calculation that you use for adjusting that? I mean, it wouldn't simply be 6.01 less 1.71. It would be the percentage of increase in the water. That it wouldn't be that simple, would it?
No, this is a rate of return on what you have invested out there.
Okay.
What they do is they add up the cost of the water towers, the pipes, you don't have pumping equipment you're using, meters, laterals, things like that, your whole infrastructure. And they say, okay, because you have so much invested, you can earn 6% on that investment. And that number then is they calculate to be the operating income. Well, it doesn't quite relate. I just hate to make a guess as to what the increase would be, but it could be near 10% or something in that range. You know, maybe a little bit less than that, hopefully. So
thank you.
Page 8 is the similar analysis again on the storm sewer utility. And here you had a very similar year. I mean, you have it's a flat charge, you know, you put on each property. The residential charge, and then businesses get a different type of calculation. But not much change there. Revenue's up a little bit. Expenses about the same. Everything else pretty much similar to the prior year. And we think we just talked about continue to keep this operating income up because there's a lot of debt service, and I think there will be more capital projects. Every community in Wisconsin is faced with this, reducing pollution and stormwater runoff. I'm sure you've talked about that, so that'll be more things, mandates.
Unfunded mandates.
No, only Trustee Green can use that term.
Don't like that term? that's all the information we have. The rest of the document is the representation letter signed by your staff. It's basically what it says, that they've made available all records to us and didn't withhold any information.
So what you're saying overall is we're solid, boring, and consistent. So that, and with these things, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, you're right. Hopefully I wasn't too boring.
Not at all.
No.
Any? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Anything in the financial statements, if you want to talk about? Or
well, I'll leave it up to the pleasure of the board. I mean, I've gone through them a bit. Does the board have any questions or comments or want them to walk through the actual financial report? Trustee Ryan?
I just have a question about the extra $277,000 from the TIF. We'll be... It's not in that, but the one that we just talked about.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
We're going to be receiving that this year in this year's tax.
Yeah, okay. You've got probably at least half of it already.
And we didn't plan on that in last year's budget process?
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
So we did expect the 277. Okay.
Any other questions or comments of the board? Hearing none, are you retiring? Is that the...
About a year from now, a little less than a year. So,
oh, so
the timing of the meeting's right, I might be able to make one more meeting.
Well, and if you don't, thank you for all your years of service.
I appreciate working with the Valley. I've worked off and on over the years for a long time. So.
There you go. I've been on for 9 years, and it's been at least that long.
Yep.
So probably for a while. So if we don't see you again, thank you for all your diligent service. All right, now that we've had the presentation, I'll entertain a motion for the board to adopt the management letter and the annual financial report. Do I hear a motion in that regard? Trustee Dart. Trustee Dennis seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. Now we're back to the old six, which is Action Regarding Ordinance Number 2015-04, relating to the organization of the Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee. That's been before us before and gone through a couple of revisions, and the final red line is in the board packet. I mean, basically to just add a village trustee to the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee. Previously, they were excluded from participation in that committee. Do we have a motion concerning the adoption of this ordinance? Trustee Rafter.
I would vote to adopt the ordinance.
Is there a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion concerning this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ordinance adopted. Action regarding structure of village committees and commissions and boards. At the last meeting, you know, we had some information concerning the current standing committees and their composition and restrictions or limitations. Does the board thoughts or want to change any of the committee structure? They have to come back in ordinance form, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, any additional thoughts? If not, we can put it up for a discussion item on the next agenda too. But does the board have any commentary on this? All right, continue to study those current compositions and see if you want to tweak it at all, and we'll put it on as a discussion as well as an action item on the next agenda as well. So we won't take any action on it at all. We'll just postpone it to the next meeting to see if there's any additional discussion, and if there is, then we'll take it up, and if not, then we'll just drop it as an agenda item for the time being. We can always bring it back. All right, now we're at the old nine action concerning the carryover requests. I mean, generally a routine matter where we had something budgeted in the previous budget, the money wasn't spent, and we want to continue to designate it for that particular line item in the current budget. So these carryovers do pop up from year to year. Does anybody have any questions of staff concerning this? Trustee Raff?
I just have one question for, I guess, Clara. On the rollover, Is that, it is a common practice, I'm guessing. I have a hard time. If we don't spend the money, I figure we just don't spend the money and we allocate it to the next year's budget. Or we try to get it into the next year's budget.
Right. Well, that's kind of what this is. This is what we talk about during budget time. So, for example, like the Emerald Ashore Fund, that we don't spend, but we want to levy $10,000 a year just to save up for when and if we do need that. Same for the HVAC system reserve. So it's not being spent, but we're formally carrying it over and designating it for those expenditures. And then other things, like the conference, you know, we just never got around to going to. So we're just saying that we didn't levy for that. It's coming out of the previous year's amount that we levied, and we're formally putting it in.
Because if we didn't put it in on this carryover to a specific line item, they go into the generalized amorphous fund balance.
Right, and then it would show being over budget on that line item when really we're not. We were planning on doing that.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Any other questions? Then I'll make a motion that we approve the carryover requests as designated into the 2015 budget. Is there a second to that motion, Trustee Harris? Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. The next one is action regarding the old number 11. Well, I guess it's still 11. Action regarding Public Works Committee meeting minutes from May 14th of 2015. I'll take them separately. First one is the purchase of the street department snowplow truck that came before the Public Works Committee. They recommended proceeding with the purchase. If I can find my notes, it was a previously budgeted item for $165,000, and due to some competitive pricing, we were able to acquire that snowplow for $148,590. We still have yet to determine the value of the trade-in or however, whatever we realize out of the sale of the pre-existing unit. Do we have a motion concerning the adoption of this recommendation? Trustee Greening, is there a second? Trustee Rafter, previously budgeted, any discussion concerning this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. I think 12B really doesn't need, or 11B, the other recommendation, updated Riverside Drive Agreement, doesn't need any action at all because they recognize that the 3% is what the rate would be. Okay, so no action needs to be taken on that. So that's just reflected in the agenda in the revised section since Public Works met that issue has been resolved. So no action needs to be taken concerning that. So then we'll move on to item 14, appointment of board member to Parks, Rec, and Forestry. Now that we adopted the ordinance to allow that to happen, I'll make a motion to recommend that Trustee Atwood be appointed to the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Rob, you got someplace to go now. Item number 15, action regarding job descriptions. Brad's, I think, told all of us that many of the job descriptions haven't been updated since the 80s or the 90s. Who did all that work? I mean, that was a lot of work.
Staff took each department took their job description, review them, and then I went through the rest of them. But staff did 90% of it.
And our village administrator, being the forester that he is, didn't want to kill 5,000 trees and submit all of that to us in paper form in our boxes, so they were kind enough to email that to us, and I suspect all of us have had a chance to receive that and review it to the extent that we desired. Do I have a motion concerning the adoption of the... I'm sorry, Brad.
If I may, Trustee Harris brought up a couple of concerns, and they have all been addressed. Each shop description needed to be identified as either exempt or non-exempt, so that has been taken care of. There were a couple references to union still in two of the job descriptions. Those have been removed. There's a couple typos that we had found. And I think
Working hours.
In working hours, because not every job description listed the working hours. Instead, that's in our personnel manual, so we remove those from there as well, because they do fluctuate a little bit. And any reference to a particular department overseeing a specific number of individuals, we took out that specific number because that could change as well. So just clean them up a little bit. And thank you, Trustee Ayers, for those comments.
Well, I appreciate it too, Matthew. They're painstaking to read through and to catch those kinds of things. I mean, I applaud you for that attention to detail.
It's just another set of eyes. That's what you
mean. I missed it twice when you told me which one it was.
Well, we've all been there when you sit there and look at the same thing over and over again. You know, the errors just blend in. You just overlook them because you've seen it before that way 10 times. And why change it? I would enter any other questions or comments concerning the now newly revised job description. If not, I'll entertain a motion to adopt and approve the revised job descriptions as presented. Is there a motion to that effect? Trustee Dennis, is there a second? Trustee Harris, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the job descriptions are approved. Item number 16, adjournment. Trustee Rafter and Trustee Dart. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, we are adjourned.